This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing, hunting, and, of course, the great outdoors right here in the beautiful state of Maryland, from sea to shining Deep Creek Lake. That's correct. We are on the first day of the migratory goose season here in Maryland, and we want to wish all the hunters well out there this morning. If you're headed out for geese, I've been traveling all across the state, of course, as usual, and we're seeing some geese on the Eastern Shore, but we're hearing complaints out of places like the center of the Eastern Shore, Talbot County, east in that area, that, hey, there's not a lot of geese here. And we're hearing from Rock Hall that there's plenty of geese here. And, you know, it could be a tough day where you are. It could be over in an hour. So it's all about the pursuit, and we wish you well. We hope that your rig and your setup is good to go, and we wish you much success on the Canada geese today. So there you go. Boy, hey, we have a caller right away. It's my buddy John. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. John in North Carolina. What can we do for you this morning, John?
I wanted to talk about the muzzleloader I won.
Oh, you won a muzzleloader. Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Good.
Look, it is fantastic. I have not shot it yet.
Right.
I ordered a scope mount, and I ordered a Blackhorn breech plug.
Yeah.
Because I started, 15 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, something like that.
A staghorn.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's also CVA, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's been fired, I guess, 400 times.
Right.
More or less. Never failed to fire. It's now on its third owner. I gave it to a buddy to get him into muzzle loading.
Right.
He just upgraded to a stainless Wolf and asked me if it was okay to give it to a third buddy of ours.
Nice.
So it's another convert who's entered muzzle loading.
All right.
The one thing I've noticed, and I've handled the Wolf recently,
mm-hmm.
and the Buckhorn, which replaced the Staghorn, their machining quality went way up over the
years. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It sure did.
It exhibits a degree of polish they didn't used to have, even though the reliability was there. They didn't look as nice.
Well, they're using the Bergera barrel, which I don't know if it's in-house or out-of-house, but I know they specialize in the Bergera barrel. And, but the fit and finish of those CVA muzzle loaders is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's as nice as anything I've seen. And if I hadn't won it, I'd made up my mind I was going to try to find one after season.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's where when I usually pick them up.
Sure.
But I'm also going to use, since it's got the sealed breech plug, I'm going to use the Blackhorn. I wanted to get it. Right now I'm using a TC Black Diamond. It's an old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the Buckhorn.
Sure.
Great muzzleloader, but man, I tell you, it's a dog to clean.
Yeah, it can be.
It really is, and I wanted to get away from the difficulty.
Sure.
And I'm sure that this one's going to do it.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind. I mean, you use that Blackhorn powder, you're going to be very happy with the results of that, as I am. I'm using that in my CVA mountain rifle, and I think I'm pushing a 250, 260 grain ball, but I want to say this to all the users of plastic sabot bullets out there for the muzzle loaders. You know, eventually that heat behind that plastic is going to melt a little tiny bit of that plastic every time you shoot, and it's going to wind up in your lands and your grooves. And I would highly suggest that you learn to clean that plastic out of the barrel of your muzzle loader. I think you told me, John, you experienced some difficulty loading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to I had to virtually put my entire weight to get the bullet to seat.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not
good. No. That was new to me. It's like the muzzleloader knew it was going to be replaced this year.
Well, sure, and so it's going to give you a hard time. Yeah.
It got cranky.
Yeah.
Didn't
yep.
Like
acetone is what you use. Run it through on a patch a couple of times. You'll see it start to clean. Acetone can be picked up at any hardware store, and brush it, run it through on a patch, make sure it's nice and wet, and just keep running it through till you don't have any more residue on a clean patch, and you should be fine with it. And then here's a good suggestion to help clean that. Rather than keep shooting those plastic sabots, go out and invest in a box of round ball bullets and patches, and shoot patched round balls through there, 10 or 12 shots, and that expansion on that round ball ticking the patch will also help clean the plastic out of there as well.
Yeah, I've got some of those because I've got a flintlock.
Yeah, well, shoot some of your patched round balls through your modern inline muzzleloader. You know what? You might be satisfied with the results.
Yeah, you're right.
And save a lot of money on bullets.
Yeah. Today is opening day for Modern Gun where I live.
Okay.
So I'm going to take my 30-06 because I hunt a lot of tree farms.
Oh, sure.
It's the only time that I get a long shot. Normally in the woods, if you get 150 yards, it's pretty long.
Yep.
You know, a muzzleloader will cover everything I need to do.
Sure.
But on a tree farm, I can get a 300-yard shot.
Right. Well, good luck with that today.
So I'm looking forward to it. And I got a nice doe last Monday.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah,
meat in the freezer.
Big mature doe, and the tree farmer loves it. He lets us hunt for free because he considers us a form of pest control.
Unfortunately,
I mean, the deer just tear up his profits.
Sure. Sure they do.
And, of course, we like it because
they're abundant.
It's a place to deer hunt.
Yeah, good deal. You got a great working relationship there.
Yeah, it's true. As long as we keep taking them.
Yeah, you have to keep doing that. Keep the farmer happy, that's for sure.
You betcha.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you again and tell you how beautiful this thing really is.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoy it. Yes,
nice
indeed.
Nicely finished, very smooth.
Well, you get that thing ready, and next year I want to hear about the big buck you killed with it.
From your lips to God's ears.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
I'll see you.
Have a great season.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Hey, Sean Mann on the hotline.
Hey.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well, Alan. How are you?
Good. World champion. Champion of champions. Call designer of the Eastern Shoreman call, a revolutionary call when you come out with that thing. How many years has it been now?
Wow, 30 years this year.
30 years, Sean. How about that? And I've known you probably 25 of those, I would imagine.
Pretty close,
yeah.
At least.
Yes, indeed. So how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Nice to see you the other day.
Oh, you too.
Yeah.
The other soggy day.
Oh, it was a mess, wasn't it?
It was good. We need the rain.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I just wanted to call in and say good luck to everybody. Have a great season.
Well, Sean, coming from you, that is a blessing to the goose hunters here in Maryland, that's for sure. No question.
Well, they're a blessing to me. I mean, look, we all get to go do this stuff, this great pursuit, share time with our friends and family.
Right.
That's a blessing to all of us.
No doubt in my mind.
This early season usually starts out a little slow. We don't have very many geese around, but that doesn't mean we're not going.
Right. That's true. I mean,
taking a dear friend this morning, and I'm going to meet a new friend, and we might even have some geese show up. I don't know.
That's very possible. Very possible. Are you calling this morning?
If I don't fall asleep in the blind.
Yeah. Well, sure. So I'm guessing if you call the geese and beckon those Canada geese, they're going to show up.
Wow.
They're going to show up. There's no doubt.
Well, sometimes you call them in, sometimes you keep them out, sometimes nothing really happens.
I liked your comment. We had a conversation the other day, folks. I stopped to see Sean, and we had a conversation the other day, and he was talking about a hunter that gets an invitation and shows up, and then just determines that the blind is his, and pulls his calls out and begins to scare geese away immediately. I think that's how you put it.
Well, he makes sure that the experience lasts longer.
Ah.
But, you know, I must tell you, I've gone goose hunting for a long, long time, and I went through a phase where I thought I was calling him in, and sometimes you are. And, you know, I don't know how many of the listeners have had this happen, but, you know, you go out and you get in the blind.
Right.
You set your decoys, do the whole thing, you get in the blind, the geese start to fly, you start to call, wave your flag, do your thing, and you're fortunate enough to get your birds.
Right.
And then you get your birds, and you walk up to the barn, the trucks, whatever, and get up there, and everybody's kind of having the post-hunt reverie, and as you're doing that, the geese are just piling into your decoys, and it strikes you that maybe you kept them out, maybe you helped them come in, whatever it was.
They were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, maybe so, but
yeah,
maybe. You know, but sometimes that's the case.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, I really believe that the calling helps.
Well, sure.
But then I've got a couple of blinds where, and actually this morning my friend Blair and I are going in with his buddy Ron, and we have one blind that we hunt that actually, if you call the birds, you are sure to not get any birds.
Really?
Yeah, but most of the blinds, you know, calling is a really good thing. And that particular place, what's that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, most places it's a really good thing and really helpful. This other particular blind, the geese really have to make the decision on their own to start the game, and you might cluck a couple times to finish them off to get them really up in the decoy spread. But,
sure.
That's the fun of the whole thing.
Exactly.
The fun of it all is, you know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But you got to go and find out.
Got to go and find out. It's just like a deer hunting has the same kind of aspect to it. You know, there's so many techniques during this time of year when the deer are in the breeding phase. You know, you want to hunt the rut, and you know the bucks are out there. So what do? Do you put a decoy out? Do you put scent out? Do you put a drag trail? Do you just hang a scent tag in a tree? Or do you not use any scent at all because the deer trail's right in front of you? Or
right.
Do you grunt? Or do you rattle? Or do you grunt and rattle?
Exactly.
You know, and as hunters, we love to do that. We like to do that experimenting stuff, whether it works or not. Sometimes, every now and then, it actually pays off, and you go, wow, what a great hunter I am. I just did a little grunt, a series of rattles, and here he came. Well, you know, guess what? He was probably going to show up anyway.
Yeah. Well, he has to know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday afternoon, I went to the field and put out some decoys because this morning I'm going to hunt over some decoys that I hunted over 41 years ago.
Those big giant silhouettes.
They are.
Yes.
And it's such a long story that I'll keep very short. But, you know, I went to the field to put them out because I just wanted to see them all spread out. Remember the other day when we...
Sure, they were all jammed together there.
So I just wanted to spread them out. So I get to the field and a buck walks out of the woods. There was a doe. There was a doe way off, and I start putting the decoys out, and I look, and there's that telltale skinny buck staring right at you pose way off near that doe. So I grab the binoculars and I look, and I said, oh, that's a neat buck, and put the binoculars down and proceeded to put out a couple of decoys. Turned around, the buck was 10 steps closer to me, so I stood next to the truck and watched him. And he continued to walk directly at me for 5 minutes.
Really?
He got to about 200 yards and then started paying attention to the doe. It was amazing. You know, so that's the deal. Sometimes you scare them off. Sometimes you lure them in, matter whether it's deer, geese, ducks, whatever.
They're wild critters, and it's hard to alter their behavior from what's on their mind.
Right. The only certain thing is that if you do not go, you will never know.
Good point. I like that. If you do not go, you will never know.
Well, right. Yeah. You know, as they say, you can't catch fish sitting on the couch. Unless you have a couch on the boat.
A good point.
Well, I just wanted to give you a call and say good morning.
Good morning, buddy. I'm glad you're hunting, and I'm sure we'll be talking very soon.
You betcha. Wish everybody the best of luck and the safest and most fun and enjoyable season.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right, John.
Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Sean, man. These big, giant silhouettes, the heads were as tall as you, as Sean and I are. And, gosh, they're probably 5 feet long, probably 4 feet wide, and, I don't know, 5 feet tall, you know, including the neck and all. I mean, it just, it's incredible looking decoys. And he's going to hunt over those. He's got a, Sean's got a photo that was in an article, I think Sports Afield 40-some years ago. And it's Sean Mann as a teenager, I believe, that and he's in the field with a goose slung over his shoulder. He's got these big decoys out there. It's a very, very cool, very, very cool looking thing. And there's more to the story, and we'll tell it eventually, maybe in the quarterly, maybe on the air here. But right now, hey, it's time for me to tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. Now, look, deer season's right around the corner next Saturday, and you still have time to get yourself a nice new deer rifle. And what I would recommend is a Browning. And here's why. The AB3, the A-Bolt 3, is a very accurate firearm. It comes in selected standard magnum and short magnum calibers. And what I mean by that is, you know, 243, 270, 30-06, 308, 300 Winchester magnum, 7mm magnum, like that. The A-Bolt 3 is a package rifle from Browning. It comes with a 3x9 Redfield scope, and it comes in a hard case. So basically, you put your sling on, you buy a box of bullets, and you're ready to go. Now, you'll get that scope bore sighted at Clyde Sports Shop. You take it out to the range. You'll start sighting it at about 25 yards. You'll get it where it needs to be, and you'll move out to 50 or 100. And you can get that gun ready to go for deer season between now and next Saturday. But you must act quickly. This is the best high-powered bolt-action rifle firearm, bolt-action rifle firearm, same thing, package deal on the planet, and it's available at Clyde Sports Shop. Now, look, if you like to kick it up, step it up a notch, you know, get yourself an X-Bolt. Put a high-quality optics on it. The X-Bolt is a little nicer finished rifle, comes with a feather trigger. But for your basic rifle package, it'll outdo just about any other package gun, that A-Bolt 3. The X-Bolt is another high-powered rifle. And if you're into pump shotguns, the BPS pump comes in 12-gauge and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer models as well. It's a bottom ejection pump action shotgun, comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. And you'll be happy with any Browning firearm you purchase from Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. That phone number again, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. Hey, you bagged your deer. Congratulations. Now what? Well, if you live in Central Maryland and are searching for a deer processor, your hunt is over. M&G Wild Game Processing in Westminster can skin and cut your deer just the way you like it. And all your venison cuts are vacuum sealed. They skin and cape your deer from outing if you need it with taxidermy services provided by Pools Taxidermy. Now, M&G Wild Game Processing can make your venison into tasty bologna in 5 flavors. Deer hot dogs, snack sticks, and deer burger patties. Try the new Applewood smoked deer bacon, smoked deer hams, whole or chipped, deer jerky, pastrami, kielbasa, and much more. M&G Wild Game Processing offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off, and they're open 7 days a week for pickup. M&G is located behind Bullock's Restaurant on Route 32 near Route 97. That's 2020 Sykesville Road in Westminster. The website is mgprocessing.com and the phone number 443-375-7138. Call 443-375-7138 for M&G Wild Game Processing. Yum, yum. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you can win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time.
We're sending that out to all the hardworking retriever dogs out there today, the Labs and the Chesapeakes and whatever else you got out there retrieving your ducks and geese this morning. Yeah. Well, who else are we going to dedicate it to? You know? All right. Hey, you can't win if you don't call. I'm talking about the muzzleloader contest. We're giving away a great CVA muzzleloader. Muzzleloader. You heard John from down there in North Carolina that won the muzzleloader last month. We are going to give a muzzleloader away this month, but we're not going to give it away next week. We're going to give it away on the first Saturday of December when the December contest starts. And why are we going to do that? Because next week is the first day of the Maryland deer firearm season, and I will be in the deer stand. Yes, I will. And for the first year in the past 5 years, I will be without my grandson, who is going to be away for the Thanksgiving holiday. However, Jacob and I, the reason the show was pre-recorded last week is because Jacob and I went hunting on Youth Day. And if you got a minute, I'll tell you a little bit about that story. Now, because Jacob is not going to be here the first day, and because Jacob and I have shared that deer stand for the last 5 years, and Jacob has taken a buck from that stand 5 years in a row, a nice buck, I said, look, you're not going to be here. I'm going to take off doing the radio show. I mean, we did the pre-recorded show, of course. I'm going to take off, and I will hunt with you the entire weekend. If you're going to be allowed to do it. And he was. So here's what happened. I picked Jacob up early on Saturday morning. We drove to our farm in Cecil County that I've been hunting for 22 years, and Jake's been with me there for, like I said, this will be the fifth year he's actually hunted. He's been with me on the farm before that. But we got in the stand early on, and it was a very quiet day. We did have one deer come in. It was a 6-point buck. And I said, Jake, there's a buck. What do you want to do? He looked at the buck, put the gun up, put the scope on the deer, put the gun back down. He said, I'm waiting for something bigger. I said, okay. Now, Jake has taken a really nice 6-point. That was his first one, a really nice 6-point buck. Second year, he took another 6-point. Third year, he took a nice 8-point, big, heavy rack deer. A couple of points broke off on the right side, but it was still a beautiful 8-point buck, very healthy, very robust deer, but apparently had gotten in a fight with a bigger buck. Then last year, he took a 7-point. All this out of the same stand, all this on the first day. Not always first thing in the morning. Sometimes we had to wait all day and wait for those deer. But regardless, it was, you know, four in a row. So here's a buck that's certainly a nice buck, certainly, you know, a meets the antler restrictions if it were needed to be on white-tailed deer. And Jake declined. I said, okay. That's your wish, my friend. You're 16 years old. This is your last youth hunt. You decide what you want to do. And he did. Well, that was the last deer we saw in the stand. About noon, we got out. We went and got some lunch. We got back in the stand at 2 o'clock. I texted somebody and said, we just got back in the stand. And Jake said, deer, buck. We'd switched locations. We'd moved to a ladder stand. I'd sent Jake ahead. I went through the woods. I drug a scent trail of Rut 30 on a drag rag through where we knew a big buck had hung out, was hanging out, because, I mean, there were rubs and scrapes and the whole deal. I dragged a scent trail down through that woods. I met Jake. We walked in the trail together, continued to drag the scented drag rag up the trail, and put out a doe decoy, two-dimensional doe decoy, which I've described before, just flat cardboard, hung the scent tag on the back of the deer, and put it where it would be visible from the trail. So, okay, probably 40 yards from us in a double ladder stand. So anyway, back to the story. Jake says, Paul, deer, buck. And he pulled the rifle up, and the deer walked into the woods. I said, was it a nice one? He goes, yes. I said, would you have shot it? He said, yes. I saw 4 points up on one side. I said, okay, good. Well, the deer's gone. So now what? Well, Paul pulls out the grunt call, grunts a couple of times, does a doe bleat, anything and everything I can do to get this deer to walk out for my grandson. Guess what? It didn't for about 10 minutes. All of a sudden, that buck came out of the woods with its head held high, and it looked like it was frightened. It wasn't wagging its tail. It wasn't, didn't have the tail flipped up. It wasn't bolting. It was just alarmed. And it stayed at about 80 yards through the laurel. And it came all the way across in front of it. Jake's on my right side. He's got his 257 Weatherby Magnum with a 3-9 Leopold scope on it on the shooting rail, and he's staying with the deer every step of the way. But the deer won't stop, and he can't get an opening. Well, the deer gets to our left, and now Jake is shooting off the rail across me, basically, and we had practiced this. I said, Jacob, what do you do if the deer's on my left and you're on my right? I said, here's what we're going to do. And we practiced me sliding back on the seat, him sliding forward on the rail, the muzzle's in a safe direction and all that, and nobody's in any danger. And so he's on the rail watching the deer. I grunted. The deer stopped at about 80 yards behind a tree. Then the deer turned and headed for the marsh. I can't see the deer. Jake's still on it. Pow! Gun goes off. I see a deer move. I said, did you hit the deer? He said, yes. I hit the deer. Where did you aim? Right behind the front shoulder. All right. I hit the deer, and it fell down and got back up. Good. Jacob, before you move, you keep your eye glued to that spot where that deer was, and you mark what you see out there. I don't care if it's a tree or a stump or a bush or something, but in your mind's eye, I want you to be able to walk right to that spot because I didn't see where the deer, was. Okay. We unhook our safety straps. We get down out of the stand. Of course, Jake unloads his rifle. I hand his empty rifle down to him. I climb down the ladder. Jake reloads his rifle. We walk to the spot. Where was the deer, Jake? Right in here somewhere. That's not good enough. Well, he was right here. I said, okay, you need to find some blood. I got blood. About the size of a grain of rice. Found a blood spot on a leaf. I said, okay, Jake, we got blood. That's a good thing. And he said, look, here's where he hit the ground. Here's where the leaves are scuffed up. I said, okay. I said, you hit the deer. We've got a little bit of a blood trail. We see where the leaves are scuffed up. I said, we need to find more blood which direction this deer went. He said, well, here are scuffed up leaves here. I said, whoa. You don't walk on the deer trail. Let's walk to the side of it and see if we've got more blood. And we did. We found more blood, abundant blood. And then the smell of a rutting deer hit us. I said, Jake, your deer's dead here somewhere. I said, I smell the deer. Do you smell it? He said, yes. I said, okay, good. The deer had gotten to a creek bank about 15 feet high. The creek bank, this bank led down to the creek, but at the bottom was this mud marsh, which is a favorite of a deer in that area for some reason. I've tracked deer there. I've tracked deer through there a couple occasions. I've recovered deer in the pretty much exact same spot where Jake's deer fell. Walked over to the creek bank, abundant blood, but the deer did not go directly the same way the blood was going. It made a right turn, pretty hard right turn. And I got to the creek bank, and Jake said, "Do you have blood?" I said, "Yeah, come on over here." He said, "What?" I said, "There's your deer." Jacob had harvested an 11-point buck. One shot, right behind the front shoulder. The deer only went maybe 40, 50 yards, and that was it. You talk about awkward man hug, high fives, you name it, buddy. We were happy. We were loving it. We were loving each other. We grabbed an antler, hauled that deer up that bank. The adrenaline was pumping. We got him dressed out, dragged back to the ladder stand, and then our buddies came and helped us get him in the truck. So that was the experience so far. So far. That was so far. Let's talk to Jim in Middle River. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for holding on. Sorry for holding you up, but I needed to tell that story a little bit.
I tell you what, every deer has a story, and that was a great one.
Yes, sir. So go ahead.
Especially with you. Okay, I got a about crossbow. Okay, if I cock it in the morning.
A what crossbow?
A crossbow.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I know you've worked on bows and stuff before. I think.
Right.
If I cock it and I'm in the tree for say 6 hours.
Yep.
Will that lose any?
No.
None at all.
No.
Even if I put it on a chronograph, and then I would really be able to tell.
Well, you go right ahead, but you're not going to lose anything by cocking a crossbow. Not a modern crossbow, no.
It's a modern. It's a Horton. It's a 175 pound pole.
No, you're not going to lose
it's
anything.
Only a couple years old, two years old.
Yeah, well, you know Horton's out of business.
Well, or 3 years. Well, now I guess I might have to do it. What is it, 10-point?
Yeah, 10-point. I think 10-point has some. I think 10-point has some parts for the Horton. I think they bought the Horton company. Quite frankly.
Okay.
But, yes, anyway, so you have this Horton, and you're concerned whether you cock it in the morning, and you're in the tree stand for 5 or 6 or 10 hours.
Right.
And you're concerned whether it's going to lose any energy over the course of the day.
Correct.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm going to guess at the end of the day, you shoot an old bolt into the ground to unload it. Is that correct, or you decock it somehow?
I decock it by hand.
Okay, you decock it by hand. That's fine. That's fine. How often?
I haven't really messed the string up at all. You know, it's got that the wrap around
the serving. Yes.
Up and down.
Yeah.
Okay. What I do, you know, I take the safety off. I pull the string up with my left, and then you know, pull the trigger, and then it releases fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not drag. I mean, it's not tearing anything up.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But
The crossbow is 3 years old, correct?
Yes.
How many shots do you think you've put through it?
I'm going to say probably 25 a season.
25 a season.
Yeah, because I might shoot it like about 10 or 12 times before I start.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe a week or two into the season, I just, you know, I shoot a couple.
Is it still shooting consistently, or are you putting...
Yeah,
that's
like right away. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, cocky.
Well, here's what's going to happen. That crossbow's 3 years old, and you shoot 20, 25, 30 rounds a year out of it. My suggestion is to replace the strings and cables.
Okay.
And the reason is they're only built for maybe that many shots, the strings and cables, because of the tremendous amount of pressure on them. You're going to start stretching your string. You're going to start losing that energy, and you're going to start getting inconsistent shots.
Okay.
It's not that it's cocked for such a period of time. It's the fact that you fired it and fired it and fired it, and that stresses back and forth. And those crossbow strings and cables are not meant for long-term use. Some of them recommend to change them every year. I would say on that Horton crossbow, you've got 3 years into it.
Yeah.
It's time to replace those cables and strings.
I mean, I'm not inconsistent, you know.
Right.
With the shooting, I'm keeping a nice pattern.
Sure. You know, but Jim,
I shoot no more than like 30 yards at the very, very most.
It doesn't matter how far you shoot it. It's the energy that expended on stretching that string and a tremendous kinetic energy that goes into that.
Okay.
Do you lube the rail every time you go out?
Well, I wax the string itself. The cables are coated.
Right.
And I do put it's like a graphite stuff that slides on the rail.
Yep. Okay. So you do lube the rails and you do beeswax the string, and that's a good thing. That's always good. That helps extend the life of the string. It keeps that serving from unraveling. But I would put that wax at where the serving is on the ends of the cables too, where the cables come together and they're wrapped.
Yes.
I would put the beeswax on there too if they're not covered in plastic or something
they're
like that.
They're covered in plastic.
Okay. All right then. But still, keep that string waxed, especially that serving. Make sure that rail lube is on there every time. But at this point, I would say before next season, you probably get away with it this season, but before next season, in the off season, I'd replace your strings and cables.
Do you recommend anyone for the Hort?
You know, I don't really know. I don't really know. You live in Middle River.
Yes.
There's probably a couple archery shops around the region that you could check. And if you want to, you know, if you want to send me an email, I'll recommend somebody for you that you can take a look at.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate your time, and I'd say congratulations to
Jacob,
your grandson.
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Have a safe one.
All right, Jim. Yeah. Bye bye. There he goes. There goes Jim. And I hope he's in the muzzleloader contest. So anyway, that's the story up to that point. So now what? We get the deer out of the woods. Of course, there's a neighborhood party going on with all the relatives. One of the relatives had a birthday party. So we've got to stop at the birthday party, and the party goers come out and look at Jacob's deer and congratulate him and all that. But now we've decided that we're going to Dorchester County the next day. So what do we do? We want to make sure that this deer on the Upper Eastern Shore, the hide, as you heard last week from Jason Carter, that the hide is in good condition so that taxidermy mount doesn't suffer. Because I asked Jacob, I said, you want rack on a plaque or do you want to get the head mounted? I want to get it mounted. Okay. So Pa says, we'll take care of it. So what do? Well, we go to a local butcher shop. Happen to go to Ron's Butchering in Elkton. They skinned a deer while we waited, which was fantastic. Did a nice job on caping the hide and cutting the deer off at the right spot and all that stuff. So we took the head with us. He packed it in a nice plastic bag. It was cool now. It's nighttime. It's dark. We packed the head in the back of the truck, and off we went for Dorchester County. We got to Dorchester County, and our landowner had a cool box on the farm. So we put the deer head in the cool box. Now it's late, Saturday night. We're tired. But guess what? Next morning, we're going sick of deer hunting. Yep, we're going for sick of deer. I told Jacob this is going to be a marathon deer hunting weekend. Well, well, well. The next morning, we wake up. Of course, we had a discussion on what stand we were going to go in. We get to the stand, and consistently that week, there had been a 6-point sick of stag, a 4-point stag, a big spike, and a bunch of does on the corn feeder on that stand. So we get in the stand. Now, spikes are off limit. This is a management farm. So what I mean by that is that these stags have got to mature to 4 or 5 years old before they even get branched antlers, because a sick of deer is much more long-lived or long-lived, however you say that, than a whitetail. And they take, you know, trophy antlers take longer to develop. So it's a management farm. Deer are fed and supplemented year-round, and there are several stands that, you know, there are cameras on. So we've had this 6 and 4 point come into this stand consistently, so very good. So we get in the stand, and right away, deer start moving in. And we've got a short spike, a very long spike, and a doe. That's all we had. Couldn't shoot. Watched them for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, and it was a great show. Well, the little doe was hilarious. Watched her chase off a raccoon that was trying to get in on the corn pile. Watched her looking up at the feeder and waiting for a bird to land on it, and the bird would land on it, kick some corn out onto the ground, and then she'd scoop it up. It was a hilarious and a very entertaining sight in a deer stand. So we had a good time. Went in for lunch, back out in the stand in the evening. Little Spike shows up again with a bigger doe. A big doe swims across the marsh. We see her swimming across. She pops up on the corn pile, and then the feeder goes off and nothing. That was it for the day. I said, now, Jacob, look, I know you can't shoot a spike. I know you want a stag, and I want you to get a stag as well. But you're here on your youth hunt. There's a giant sika deer doe on the corn. She's 65 yards. It's perfectly legal, perfectly fine for you to shoot a doe on the youth hunt. But it's your decision. What do you want to do? And he looks at me and he says, do you want me to shoot a deer? And I said, Jacob, your decision. But do you want one for the meat? And it was a test. And I said, Jacob, I don't need any meat. It's your call. I'll take it. It's delicious meat. And he never picked a rifle up. So this young man, in the course of one weekend, passed up a 6-point buck and was rewarded with an 11-point. He passed up a shot at a doe, which was perfectly legal to take because he had no pressure from me. And he made his own decision to be conservation-minded on that farm where he knew they were managing for sika deer. I could not be prouder of my 16-year-old grandson than I was last weekend. And tell you what, folks, I wasn't here live, but I had the experience that I'll talk about the rest of my life, of my grandson taking a nice 11-point buck. And I told him, I kidded him, I said, you know, Jake, you've got a deer with 1 point more than Paw has. So there's a 12-point on this farm. I'm just going to have to come up here this year and take that 12-point. I hope you're not mad. Of course, you know, that was fun. But what a terrific experience, a mentoring experience, a bonding experience. I'll never forget it. And I hope you don't either. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning. Excuse me. I was hoping that you two would have a great time.
We had a spectacular time.
Please let them have something special, you know. And that was a great story. I tell you what I've learned listening to you guys. Every time, because I thought, what is the excitement? How does it keep going? It's very simple. Every hunt is different. There's not going to be any two hunts that are exactly alike.
That's true.
Every time you go out, it's different.
Exactly.
That's what the excitement and the adventure is. I'll tell you another thing good about it. It teaches you how to be patient. You know, most people, we don't have patience anymore. We want everything yesterday. But if you're going to go hunting, you're going to have to learn to be patient. You know, like you said, it may come right away. It may take you all day. So, you know, if patience is something we all need to learn. Second thing I want to tell you is I want to compliment you and your people on that quarterly magazine this time. I am telling you, it was awesome. First of all, it's like every page, there's so many pages, but every page you could feel the care and love and attention that was put in every page, every ad, every article, every, you know, person that wanted to show what they did, you know, was treated special. You could feel it. It just bounced off the page to you, you know.
Yep.
And the size of it, the printing, the largeness of the print, I mean, it is so special. I'll tell you what I thought about. You know, especially this one to me was just awesome, but this quarterly magazine, I put it on the level of a precious heirloom. I'm serious. People need to put it in their will and their estate. Don't throw my quarterlies away.
Oh, my gosh.
Wrap them up and pass them on to someone that will appreciate looking at them. I'm serious. You never know how this world's going. 20 years from now, and we're not careful, we may not be able to go hunting. But those magazines are precious. But it's a beautiful Christmas gift. I'm going to tell you, people, do not let these quarterly magazines go to waste, especially this one. They make a great present, pass them on, and they're giving them away for free.
That's right.
I can't believe there's no organization that I have ever seen to give such a quality magazine away for free.
Well, thank you.
You know, do not let these magazines go to waste. And don't throw them away. If you read them, you pass them on. They're precious to possess. And the last thing I'm going to tell you, you know, Christmas is coming, right?
Yep.
And I've gotten excited. You know, I'm like a little kid because I have so much to buy and so much to do to even get ready
sure.
to go hunting, right? So these magazines, I've already got my name, but they start coming to the house.
Yep.
And I ordered my first little box of something, right? And my family's looking at me like, you know, so what's in it? So I pulled out a couple Compass, you know,
right.
and I got a military watch, and I got an emergency kit, and then I pull out, I saved the best for last, because this is the way it was listed in the catalog, a military assault backpack camouflage.
Oh, good grief.
And I pulled it out, and they go, what's that? I said, oh, and I just hugged it, right? And I said, it's my military assault backpack camouflage. And they said, oh, my God, we need to call somebody for her.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm looking at all the other stuff, you know,
right.
the crossbows and the stuff, and I can't wait till each package comes. And I thought to myself the other day, I said, Fran, how in the world have you changed like this? Because, you know, Christmas time, oh, I want a hat and a scarf and
sure.
I want sweaters. And all I can think about is my hunting stuff, right?
Gotcha.
And I looked at my list. And I thought, boy, has your list changed for Christmas?
I guess it has. Yes, indeed.
You know, I'm having fun.
Good.
And I enjoy listening to you guys talk because one thing I enjoy you hearing your conversation, you're caring. But you know what I love to hear when you guys talk most? The respect that you show for each other when you're talking to each other.
Sure.
There is a love and respect and bonding that you can hear. See, the world I live in, everybody's angry. They are angry
That's
with
true.
Somebody. Their boss, their job, their family,
yep.
their wife, their children. Oh, my God. You know, they're angry at somebody, and they this anger is in them, you know.
Yeah.
But to listen to guys that don't sound angry, that support each other, that share information with each other, and you all sound happy. You really sound happy with yourselves.
Yep.
It's pleasant to listen to.
Well, thank you, friend.
Yeah.
And well, you're pleasant to listen to as well. Unfortunately, we've got to move along and take a break. So we'll talk to you soon, dear. Okay?
All right.
Thanks, friend. Bye-bye. There she goes, the Maryland Fishing Challenge, of course. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational angler in Maryland. Eligible fish are all game fish from everywhere across the state. Atlantic Coast, Freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, you name it. And there's several divisions, including the Chesapeake Bay, Tidal, the Freshwater, the Atlantic Coast, Catch and Release, even invasive species. The Youth Division is connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. All you got to do is go out there and catch a fish of a notable specified size, and you can do that really well right now. And you'll receive your official Angler Award certificate. You'll get an invitation to the grand finale event in September where you could win some great prizes. No question. Don't have the list in front of me yet, but guaranteed great prizes and probably some cash. So let's get out there and go fishing, even in the fall cold weather. Fish are feeding up and getting fat all over Maryland. You can catch them in freshwater in the bay and off the Atlantic coast. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Just go fish. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey folks, Pocomoke Sound oysters are now available in the shell or by the pint at NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. And NBS Seafood has plenty of their own delicious frozen soft crabs to enjoy this fall. NBS is your Louisiana connection with live crabs, live crayfish, gator tail nuggets, and gator sausage. Now, NBS Seafood carries fresh fish, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, and a variety of other seafood items. And they have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Did you know NBS also has pasture-raised, antibiotic-free dressed chickens? Stop by and see NBS Seafood or call 410-271-3202. NBS is open Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from noon till 6, and accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donny RV. Any questions, please call 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's No Bull Stuff Seafood. Well, that took us right to the end of the hour. And we hope that you visit our sponsors throughout this week. And get ready for deer season. If you have to leave us now, if you're getting into the blind or going into your tree stand, well, just be safe out there. Get out, stay safe.